confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media. Always supporting local MMA, you're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
All right, everybody, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. We are rocking it out on a Monday, mid-morning on the West Coast, and it's because there was no other way to do it than to make a special show today for Ring of Combat 47 going down in Atlantic City, New Jersey this weekend, and we're going to have an all Ring of Combat show. We're going to have the legend himself, Lou, the man behind it all. We're going to have a couple of his fighters, James Jenkins and Julio Arce. You guys, Julio's been on here before. You know, we love him. He's a great interview. You guys definitely don't want to miss that. Lapaki, my normal co-host, will be joining. He is just getting late to getting into the studio. But for sure right now, we're going to have H.R. Baker, one of our writers and media coverage guys out of the Midwest, join us. H.R., how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good today. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
I'm so excited. This is going to be a great show. And we're not going to screw around too long because we have the legend himself here. And, folks, I'm going to read this out for you. He is a three-time world kickboxing champion, U.S. kickboxing champion, Florida karate champion, New York State champion, Eastern American karate champion. No opponent lasted longer than three rounds with this guy since 1980. 8-degree black belt, Hall of Fame karate inductee, and an amazing actor. Lou, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. How you doing tonight?
My pleasure, and you're doing a great job. The fans love you. Keep up the good work.
Well, for you, that's truly, truly an honor. First and foremost, for all the fans out there, you want to tell them a little bit about your company and a little background on Ring of Combat?
Yes, I'm very proud of Ring of Combat. This is my 47th show. And although I have super fights and championship fights, the main focus has been and always will be to showcase new talent. There's so many unknown fighters that have great talent that Ring of Combat brings to the MMA world. And I'm very proud that 80 fighters from my show were later on picked for the UFC, and not only in the UFC, but successful in the UFC. And three of my most famous Ring of Combat alumni are Frankie Edgar, Matt Serra, and Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman and Matt Serra had every fight before they were picked for the UFC at my show. That's where they tested, developed, got known, and became great stars in MMA. I'm very proud of the Ring of Combat alumni.
Well, right there, that in itself is a statement for what kind of product you produced, let alone the longevity of your organization. And for the fans out there, I know we're going to really spend this whole show talking about ROC 47, but you also run an amazing Muay Thai kickboxing event out of New York that I'm just a huge fan of. How difficult is it for you to take care of both organizations?
Well, as you know, I was a former world kickboxing champion, and my passion, of course, is kickboxing, and MMA was not around at the time I was fighting, or else I would have jumped in MMA because, you know, it shows all aspects of fighting, and that's the beauty of MMA and why it became such a popular sport worldwide. But I presently do 5 shows a year in MMA and 5 shows a year in kickboxing in New York City, the kickboxing, and Tropicana Atlantic City with the MMA shows. And I'm very honored that Glory, which is the premier kickboxing league in the world, and also just recently came to the United States, and I promote for them when they come to the United States. I'm very proud of that. They gave the last show I had was at Madison Square Garden. We sold out the arena, and I was honored to present a $150,000 check to the winner of that tournament, and the elaborate purses acknowledge the great talent in the kickboxing world.
Oh, that is, I mean, that just once again, gives rise to how it, important and successful your companies have become for fighters, not only to learn and grow and make a name for themselves, but to have the doors and the opportunities open to some of the bigger leagues in the, outside the United States or even inside the United States because of what you've been able to produce. You know, if you spend your career fighting for you at Ring of Combat, you've got a serious shot to make a real career and be a legend. I mean, you don't put up easy fights. You guys don't have canned fights. You've never been question about, the legitimacy of your matchmaking. When you spend so much time and effort, obviously, you fought yourself, so you understand what a fighter needs to be treated like at an event and how to matchmake to where it's a fair fight. Do you ever get frustrated when you see these kind of joke organizations throwing up, just random cards that you feel and you probably know that are just complete mismatches or can fights?
Very much so. And, as a former fighter, I match up fighters that I want to see. And, that's what makes the exciting bouts to the fans as well as to the MMA industry. And I think, mismatches happen all the time. And when people start talking to me about the fighter and who they want to fight, I tell them, what do you want to date the guy? You want to fight the guy? Go to another organization and come to me when you want a real fight. And the UFC has taken fighters from my organization that were 7-3. And other fighters that are 10-0 can't get in the UFC because everybody in the know knows there's mismatches, and it's who you fought and how you fought that matters and defines you as a fighter. And great fights or great matchup fights make great fighters. And an example of that is some of the great Ring of Combat alumni out there when they went to the UFC because they had tough competitive fights prior to that. They were able to do well in the UFC and become champions as well as being very successful. And it's definitely you don't get a second chance at a first impression. And the UFC has seen all my Ring of Combat fights, and that's why they constantly pick them because they know I have tough fights. And if you want an easy fight, go somewhere else. Call me when you want a real fight. But those fights are what's going to make you a great MMA star. And some people just want to say because the sport is trendy, I'm an MMA fighter to their girlfriend, and they want an easy fight just to say they were in there. Ring of Combat is not the place for you. Ring of Combat is interested in talented fighters that are willing to fight anybody, anytime, but that's is a road to your success in MMA, and those are the fighters that are going to become successful. And as you know, the sport, we talked about kickboxing, the sport evolves so much. You got to be a great kickboxer or stand-up fighter as well as a great ground fighter, whether it be your wrestling or jiu-jitsu background. You have guys right now that are kickboxers submitting ground guys, and you have ground fighters knocking out stand-up fighters because the sport evolves. The fighters from the beginning can never exist in the sport today. The sport and the athletes are so talented and so well-rounded, which didn't happen at the beginning stage of MMA. These fighters deserve all the recognition and whatever payday they could get. And as a former fighter, I treat my fighters with respect, and I know what they sacrifice to be there with their family, their life, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm very proud of the athletes in the sport, and they deserve deserve everything they could get from this sport. It's the most competitive sport in existence today, showing all aspects of fighting. And it answers the old question, who's better, the wrestler, the boxer, the kickboxer? It's a combination of all your martial arts combined together that defines you as a great fighter. And I teach it at my school, a combination of the various arts, because that's what helps you for the street as well as competition, especially in MMA.
Now, obviously, as just an amazing legend in the sport of kickboxing yourself, how much do you enjoy seeing maybe a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy with background come in and knock out a striker in a fight?
I love to see that because of the fact that, you know, you're seeing the evolution of the sport and how people are not staying with their own discipline and realizing that in this game now, because of the competition, you have to, you know, be proficient in all aspects of fighting and even the training wise. I mean, compared to a boxer who's training just boxing, I mean, these guys, these MMA fighters, are making such great sacrifice in their training, and I love to see that transition, that they walk into that cage proficient and not relying on their main source, you know, but knowing that they could use that when it happens, but they don't have to only engage in that style fight. And that was another thing about Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman was a great wrestler, but he knew his deficiencies, and they were at the beginning a little bit of jiu-jitsu and a little bit of stand-up. You know, he was okay in those areas, but he had to definitely develop them more, and he did develop them more, and now you see him, you know, knocking out fighters as well as submitting fighters and not only using his great wrestling skills. So in answer to your question, I'm very happy to see the fighters transition to all aspects of their fight game and become proficient at it.
Now, Baker, I promise I'm going to let you jump in with this legend in just a minute, but I got to – you have – obviously phenomenal talent. I mean, from on this card and all your cards, but, you know, from Chris Cope to Steven Rigman to Julio Arce, Pat DeFranco. I mean, the list goes on and on. But there's one guy on this card we're not going to have on the show today, folks. We've had him on 6-7 times throughout his career. But I got to ask you, do you see superstar at the highest level coming out of Frankie Perez or what?
I think Frankie Perez is a great talent. He'll be fighting in a championship fight coming up by my next show, which is in May. But, you know, the important thing is step by step, and I've increased his opponents each time, and he got better and better each time. And that's how you kind of grow as a fighter, you know. And I think he's showed great talent. In his last fight, he'll be up for a championship fight at my next show. And every Ring of Combat champion has went on to the UFC, and I have 5 championship fights this show, and he'll be fighting in my next one as a challenger for a championship. And he's a great talent, and I expect him to be another Ring of Combat alumni that I'm going to be very proud of going into the UFC.
Yeah, Frankie is somebody, when he was an amateur, I believe he was 6-0 when I first started watching him as an amateur, and now he's like 17 or 18-0 counting pro and amateur career, and he only just seems to get better and better.
Better and better.
It's scary. It's really scary. But the competition you keep
going at. You know about better and better, you know, as you said, you know, inch by inch, life is a cinch. You know, you can't expect jumps, you know, it's inch by inch. And that's how I think he trains, and that's how he has developed. And, you know, that's the key to success. But I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I just thought of that.
No problem. We have a quick break. Lepaki, my normal co-host, has now joined us. Lepaki, what's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody doing this morning and early afternoon?
How are you?
I'm great.
That's fine.
Lepaki, right now we're kicking back with Lou. We're kind of, you know, touching a little bit on this fight card, Ring of Combat 47. We kind of touched a little bit on his kickboxing league as well. But HR, you want to jump in? You got any questions?
Yeah, I was going to ask Lou, is there a certain event that sticks out in your mind the most from any of your events that's like at the top of your...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. Is there someone that sticks out? I didn't hear it, please.
He's wondering if one of your events is in particular that you remember the most.
Well, you know, seeing some of the great talents rise up, like, you know, the beginning of Weidman's career, you know, is definitely something that is very exciting to me to see him develop. But this particular show in particular, I have 5 championship fights, and I'm very, very excited about this fight here. And as I said previously, that every Ring of Combat champion has been on to UFC, and all these vacated titles are only because the fighters that held those titles are in the UFC, like Ryan LaFlair and Chris Weidman. And, you know, there's a great legacy behind these titles that open for grabs, and we have some great talent fighting for them, like Julio Arce, James Jenkins, and other fighters that are fighting for a vacated title.
Arce is a savage, man. I love watching that kid fight.
I'll tell you, the kid has it all. The kid has it all for sure, and he definitely has great stand-up and great ground game, which is what you need to reach the top in the field today. The sport evolves so much in such a positive way, for sure. And James Jenkins is a great talent. Also, Chris Wade and Pat DeFranco, either one of them should be in the UFC. And I remember speaking to the UFC about a fight I had with Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman. They were both undefeated, and I said either one, regardless of who wins the fight, should be in the UFC, and sure enough, the UFC picked both of them, and they were both in the UFC, even though Weidman beat Uriah Hall. They both got called for the UFC because, you know, tough fights make great fighters, and you know, one win or one loss doesn't matter. It's who you fought and how you fought that matters.
Lou, how much does it frustrate you in the MMA world where they look at losses like it's the end of the world, unlike in kickboxing?
You know, one win, and I say this all the time at the weigh-in, one win or one loss does not define you as a fighter, you know. And if you can't take a loss, you're not championship material. There's not a fighter out there that retired as champion that didn't have a loss on his career. I mean, look at some of the fighters in boxing. Rocky Marciano, he lost 4 times as an amateur. And, you know, some of your great fighters, every fighter had a loss, and it's part of, you know, if you have the mental toughness and the mindset to be a champion and to be able to overcome that, it's like obstacles in life, you know, it's part of life and it's part of fighting.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, one of the things you touched on in that when you answered HR's question was when, you know, you have a fight like Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman at Ring of Combat, that's kind of what makes going, you know, for me, going to these local shows so much more advantageous than going to the big show, because you're going to get to see some of these guys fight that you may not get to see fight live in another venue.
Without a doubt. And, you know, they're so hungry, you know, when they're trying to make it in the field there. And some of the fights at Ring of Combat, I don't say it's because it's my show, but people are on the edge of their seat because, you know, I match up fighters accordingly, you know, with equal talent, and the best comes out of them, and they know what they're fighting for, and they know their passion. And as we know, pursuing your passion is one of the greatest pleasures of life. And these fighters fight with great passion, and they have great fighting spirit, technique, speed, stamina. And to match up 2 evenly matched fighters, you know, and they go for it, and they don't just fight not to lose, they fight to win. And, you know, those are the type of fighters that I showcase at my Ring of Combat event.
Now, I'm curious, you know, with such successful events, both MMA and kickboxing, how many times do you get these pros on your MMA cards asking to fight on your kickboxing card?
That's a great question. A lot of times I have fighters that fight in both aspects, you know, of my show. And those are the smart fighters that should keep busy in both areas because, you know, the sport evolves so much, you have to be proficient in both areas. So I do have a lot of fighters that once they hear I'm doing the kickboxing shows also, venture into those cards, and they just want to keep busy, and that's what good fighters should be doing. So it happens quite often. Luke Como, you know, used to fight at every one of my shows, almost one after the other, one kickboxing, one MMA, and go show for show and keep busy with it. But a lot of fighters are doing that now, especially that the sport evolves so much, and they realize that they need to do that to really reach the top level.
Now, you've been so successful with Ring of Combat, and you've given that platform to fighters all over to come fight there. Why have you decided never to take it and travel?
You know, it's interesting. You know, I've met with 2 defunct organizations that both had $30 million behind them, and they want to merge with me because they were just starting off. And I met with them in New York City, and the reason I didn't merge with them is that I said, what is your goal and what is your business plan? And they said, to beat the UFC. And I said, thank you, but no thanks. I think the UFC deserves the place that they have in MMA history. If I was a fighter, I would want to fight at the UFC. I've had fighters under my contract that when they got picked to the UFC, they called me and said, Lou, I have another fight left with you, but the UFC called me. I said, I'm ripping up the contract. go. I said, that's where I want you to go. And because I was a former fighter and have passion for these fighters, I definitely am very happy, as they are, to get to the UFC. So I've kept it as a local regional show, but again, one of the more respected shows, you know, national. I got fighters from other countries coming into the show, and they would pay their own way to get in because they want to make it here in the United States, and they know it's almost like the Beatles. They could have stayed in England and would have been stars, but they want to be global stars. So I have fighters, and the reputation, I think I'm very happy with my place in MMA history, and that's to showcase new talent and find new talent like no other organization has. And no other organization could boast of having 80 fighters that are not only in the UFC, but successful in the UFC. And three of my most famous Ring of Combat alumni are Frankie Edgar, Matt Serra, and Chris Weidman. So I will stay where I am. I enjoy the place I'm at, and good is good, you know. I definitely will just keep rolling on with this type of show and showcasing new talent, and that's what I want to stay with.
Now, Lou, right before the, I think it was right before Uriah fought Chris Lieben, maybe.
Chris Weidman?
Oh, Chris Lieben. Or maybe it was right before he fought John Howard. GFL was promoting the fight with Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman for people to be able to go back and watch that at your show. Weidman, or Uriah Hall seemed to really get kind of upset at that fight being pushed. What did you think about that, and were you kind of like, hey, you know, everybody kind of knows the fight's out there. I mean, what are you getting so upset about?
Well, you know, I think there were two undefeated fighters, you know, that took a shot at fighting each other and definitely were both confident about the fight, and I think those are great fights that make great fighters, and they both went to the UFC. So, you know, one win or one loss, you know, doesn't define you as a fighter, and I think that should have been the mental mindset on that fight. And, you know, it's ironic, as I said, Weidman, who is not a stand-up guy, kind of was beating Uriah Hall at the stand-up game at various times in the bout. But definitely Uriah Hall is a great talent, and I expect him to do great in the UFC. He just had a great victory a couple of weeks ago, and I also expect Weidman to stay champion for a very long time. So I'm proud of both of those alumni, and they both should be very proud of their accomplishments in this very difficult field.
Do you think that with the champions that you've had, obviously the legacy behind the belts that folks can win in your organization, have just a ridiculously high bar. And when you see someone like Chris take out theoretically the best fighter in the world, do you think that puts a little bit more weight on the guys fighting for your titles to really step it up?
Without a doubt, you know, but, you know, Chris Weidman definitely was a type of fighter that had a mindset, that was a champion mindset right from the beginning. He never cared who he fought when you know, I approached him and we discussed upcoming fights, and was confident every time he went in. If you hit Chris Weidman, he never got negative. He would grind his teeth and want to come at you even faster, you know. And some fighters, when they get hit and they kind of get negative, they go off their fight plan, but not Chris Weidman. He showed some great championship qualities in his first and second fight at my Ring of Combat, and then went on to win four fights in a row before getting picked to the UFC. But, you know, the legacy of that title, you know, I think, you know, people are proud to be eligible and then take that title, and hopefully they're going to have the success that the previous holders had. Look at Ryan LaFlair, you know, was a great talent in Ring of Combat, and now is undefeated in the UFC, fought about a month ago, and I expect him to be a UFC champion also. I'll tell you the truth, you know, I think Chris Weidman could beat Anderson Silva 10 times in a row if they fight, and every time they fought, there's some story behind it, but the bottom line is, whatever Anderson Silva was able to do with other guys, he couldn't do with Chris Weidman. He showboated with other guys and won, he couldn't do it with Chris Weidman. He late-kicked guys and devastated their legs, he couldn't do it with Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman is a tough, strong, talented fighter that's going to be a hold that championship for a long time in the UFC, and he'll go down as one of the greats in the UFC, I believe.
It's funny you say that, but we see it all the time, especially, you know, guys like us who watch, you know, so many thousands of fights a year. Sometimes people just have your number. Look at when Silva came in with Franklin. I mean, he owned Franklin like nobody's ever owned Rich, ever, you know, and it just happens. You know, everybody has to fall sooner or later. Everybody has that, you know, competitor that can step up every time and beat them. It's just, that's the beast of, you know, that's the sport they're in.
without a doubt. And even in boxing, you know, you saw Alexio when he fought Aaron Pryor, you know, and he beat everybody else, but he couldn't beat Aaron Pryor. He just had his number. The same analogy you just used is so true in all sports.
Yeah. Baker, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm good. I agree with what you say about Weidman. I'm a number one fan of Weidman. I think he's just a beast all around, going to be a champ for a long time. And I think he can beat Anderson Silva 10 out of 10.
I agree.
Really
with
do.
I agree
smart,
with
very smart fighter, and I really like him. He's at the top of my list.
And as good as the talent he is inside the ring, he's a great family person, a religious person, one of the best guys you'd meet in the streets. You know, if you talk to him, you'd never know he was a fighter. Just a real good-hearted guy.
Lou, is Frankie up for a title shot after this fight with Santiago if he wins?
Yes, he is. And talking about the title fights, you know, Julio Arce is a great talent. That should be an extremely exciting fight. Chris Wade fighting Pat DeFranco. James Jenkins, you know, fighting a guy from Austria. Great, great championship fights there. And, yes, Perez will be up for the winner of that fight in his weight division.
I'm super pumped about the Wade fight, really. I think ultimately Pat DeFranco will win the fight, but I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Chris Wade, you know, obviously through your organization and others, but, you know, that's going to be a barn burner right there, man, for the vacant welterweight title. Wow.
Well, we think very similar because I made that the main event of the five championship fights I have on that card this coming Friday.
Folks, and everybody out there, while we're talking about this card, don't forget, if for some reason you don't live close enough to be able to go out there and buy a ticket and support this organization in person, you can always buy an iPay-per-view through GoFight Live. So if you live in Canada or you're listening right now in Bangkok or you're on California, you guys can still catch all these great fights we're talking about on GoFight Live television.
And a reminder also to fighters in general, if you have what it takes to be an MMA star, Ring of Combat's looking for you, you can contact me at lou@louneglia.com and send me your resume, and I'll consider you for one of my five shows a year I do at the Tropicana.
Oh, now that right
Lou, you know, a lot of shows would have a guy like Chris Copeland, they would automatically make him the main event. Was that something hard for you guys not to do, or did you know that the excitement that DeFranco and Wade would bring, is that's really what you needed to use to anchor the show?
You know, it's funny. Both of these fighters, Chris Wade and Pat DeFranco, were surprised the other fighter even took that fight. They're both so confident about their victory coming. I just knew this would be an explosive fight for the fans that will be coming and also just for the fight itself. So it was just a choice I made. But, you know, any one of those five fights could have been the main event card. The main events for that particular night, but I just chose that one for a couple of reasons.
Well, I mean, you know, looking over the card, there's so many. I mean, you know, when you sit
I'm
down.
I'm surprised that Skippy hasn't. Lou, I'm surprised Skippy hasn't spent the last 28 minutes only talking about the Frankie Perez fight. I think a lot of times that's the only guy that he pays attention to in your whole organization.
Well, he's a great talent, and I don't blame him. He's a great talent, and his family, and, you know, inside and outside the ring, just a great guy in general, and has a great future in this sport, very dedicated to training. And, you know, you need to make the sacrifice. Everybody wants to be successful, but most people won't make the sacrifices they need, and Frankie does make those sacrifices, and he will be successful in this sport.
Would you allow Frankie to DJ his own walkout music live and then walk out?
I tell you, I know his family and himself, and I tell you, if he asked it, I probably would figure out a way to do that for sure. Because he DJed a lot of my shows, and he's a great DJ also, you know, I have in kickboxing and also amateur MMA shows too. So I think after the show, he might even call me up and ask me that question.
yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Kip. Thanks.
Hey, you know, but I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, Frankie a little before you got to join us, actually, Lapaki. But, I mean, if you look over this card, there's just too many great fights. Excluding the title fights, if you were to tell the fans to pay attention to one fight, what fight do you think they should really pay attention to?
So you'll feel better, I'm going to say Frankie Perez is on the undercard. But he definitely, he definitely would be one of them for sure. Probably the top one of the other fights, but there's definitely a couple other fighters to, you know, look at. Steven Regman is going to be a huge talent in the field. Of course, you have Jose Villanova fighting Leandro Muniz, and that's a great fight itself. I'll tell you the truth, there's not a fight that I'm not looking to see myself, and that's what, you know, I enjoy about it. I match up fights, I don't know who's going to win, and I enjoy the shows myself.
Now, I'm curious about one thing, and it could be printed wrong, it could be printed right, but I'm going to ask. Your fights, like the Frankie Perez, is 3 4-minute rounds. Is what's with that? Why is it not three?
Well, I've just, with my organization, and it made 3 4-minute rounds, the regular bouts and the championship fights, 3 5-minute rounds. I've started off that way, and I've kept that going. Right, Drew. And I have the same other rules other than that, and the fact that there's no elbows, strikes on the floor. You can strike standing up. A lot of times, you know, they cause cuts, and sometimes great fights, you know, stop because of a serious cut with an elbow on the floor. So those are only two things that are a little different than the UFC as far as the rules-wise. And on the regular fights, they're 3 4-minute rounds instead of 3 5s.
I like it. You know, fans get
it makes
more
an
for
exciting
their
fight. You know, people are fighting beginning, middle, end of the round, and then when they go to the 3 5s is when they, you know, merit a championship fight.
Now, with, you know, obviously, you having to jump back.
Will okay. Live to Fight, Inc. be at the event, Luke?
I'm sorry?
Will Live to Fight, Inc. be at the event?
Which organization?
Live to Fight. I think that's the charity that Weidman works with.
Yes, yes. Christian is the representative of the organization that I speak to, and I definitely offered her tickets for her members. You know, each show I kind of donate some tickets to a charitable organization or worthwhile cause, and I did it for her, and I know she has people coming down at the show. Yes, great organization.
That's cool. That's way cool.
You know, giving back is also a part of what fighters and promoters should do to the sport. You know, I love the sport, and, you know, the victims of that organization, you know, it's just heartbreaking to see sometimes, you know, and you kind of appreciate some of the things you have, you know, when you see some of the misfortunes that happen and some of the situations that people are living with. You know, it makes us smile a lot more, complain a lot less, and realize how lucky we are.
Now, I do want to ask you, you know, obviously everybody out there, you know, you guys got to get out and check out, you know, Ring of Combat 47, but when are we going to see your next kickboxing event?
My next kickboxing event will be April 4th in New York City at the famous Capitol. It's like a landmark in New York City. It's a great arena. It's in Chinatown, Little Italy, borderline area on Bowery Street, and it is April 4th at the Capitol. And it has some great talents in the fight, right, for championship fights and some MMA fighters. Also, see, for example, I'm going to just give you one of many, Julio Arce and Steven Regman are also fighting in that kickboxing show, which would be 8 weeks after the Ring of Combat show. And that's an example of just, you know, how smart fighters are that, you know, want to keep busy, you know, with the both aspects of the fight game, stand-up fighting and also ground fighting.
James
Jenkins. Hello?
Go ahead,
Hello?
Baker, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about James Jenkins' opponent. Now, he fights in Austria, and this will be his first pro fight in the USA?
Well, it'll be the first pro fight in the USA, but he's had 5 fights in Austria, and he won an Austria championship. And again, you know, it just makes me very proud of Ring of Combat, you know, as far as the global exposure it gets. And I have fighters from, you know, Russia, in this case Austria, Canada, and many, many countries that are trying to get on the card. And, you know, I place an international fighter, 1 or 2 on each card that I have now. But he's a very talented fighter. It's going to be a very tough fight for Jenkins. But Jenkins is tough as nails, and he could beat you standing up and on the ground. So it's going to be a great fight. That's why it's a championship fight.
And he's undefeated in Austria? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Lou, how far away are you from being able to put on an MMA event in New York?
You know, I've been campaigning for that for years and years, and throughout the years that I live here in New York, you know, I love performing and promoting in New Jersey, but I would love to promote in New York, my home state. We could surely use the revenue, you know, aside from the taxes, the cab drivers, the restaurants, and all the other revenue that it would generate. But unfortunately, it's just an example of dirty politics. The main reason, I don't care what anybody says about the brutality of the sport, the women's groups that are against it, it's the Culinary Union that has influence over the senators, and that's why it has not been passed in New York. It's the only state, which is, you know, a disgrace, that doesn't allow MMA. And I fought at Madison Square Garden 8 times, and, you know, no matter where you go in the world, fighters would love to fight at Madison Square Garden, and these great fighters should fight in one of the greatest arenas in the world, Madison Square Garden. And it's just dirty politics, and it's the Culinary Union more than any other reason. I had senators that I knew behind closed doors tell me that was the reason. It never got passed and is still being delayed, you know, but eventually it will be, but definitely long overdue than it should.
Hey, yeah, because it just dumbfounds me that such a combat sports haven would not want to have, you know, the latest evolution of combat sports there. I mean, you know, some of the kickboxing and boxing matches that have happened in New York City have been classic. You know, I can still remember Tito Trinidad's lockouts in Madison Square Gardens where seemed like the whole country of Puerto Rico was in the building.
Without a doubt. You walk into Madison Square Garden, the electricity is like no other place in the world. And like you just said, that fight had so many great fights. Ali fighting there, Frazier fighting there, some of the greatest fighters of all time that fought at Madison Square Garden.
Hey, Lou, I've got a fan question. They would like to know, what was your favorite movie to be in?
You know, A Hard Way to Die was probably the most popular here on Saturday afternoons. They used to have martial arts movies all day long. They would run on Channel 9 TV, and that movie in itself, I think, played about 15 times, and I enjoyed doing it for sure. And it's funny, you know, by the standards of movies here, when I finished the movie, they called me up afterwards and said, you know, we're doing a premiere. And I said, a premiere? And, I mean, in China, everything with martial arts was like a major motion picture. I mean, I was fascinated to go there for the premiere and be treated like people are treated here with major motion pictures here. I mean, they had billboards all over. So I would just say it was a lot of fun doing A Hard Way to Die. I played a bad guy. And I got killed, but it was still an exciting starring role in a movie that I enjoyed. You know, it's funny because, you know, actors are actors, you know, and these actors that were in the movie knew that I just won a championship when I did that movie. And they said, you know, this is just movies. Don't kick me and punch me like you're in the ring. So it was actually funny, but they were great martial arts talents, and it was a great experience for me to do that particular movie, A Hard Way to Die.
Well, Lou,
now, Dale Cook has been on with us before, Lou, and he claims to be the best B-movie kickboxing actor out there. Would you think maybe you have that title, or does he have that title?
I would give him that title if he wants it. I've only done about 4 movies. And, you know, it's funny, you know, when I won the championship, Pal Ming from this Eternal Film Company contacted me and said, you know, do you act? And I said, of course I act. Because to me, when you're in the ring and you fight in the ring, you could do anything else outside the ring, for sure. So I told him I was an actor. I said, sure, I could act, and then that was it. But, you know, I don't claim to be an actor. And, again, a lot of the scenes in the movie were action scenes and a little acting, but I got away with it, and it worked out well. But definitely I bow down to Cook on that. I give him that title.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, hey, do you want to tell everybody where they can find tickets to the event? I think sounds like we're going to have to wrap up your segment. You got things to go and business to finish before fight day, but if you want to give a shout-out where people can find tickets or anything like that, man, take a run at it.
Definitely. Well, the place is almost sold out. If you're interested in going to the show, you get them online, Ring of Combat Online, or Ticketmaster, or the Tropicana box office. The arena holds 3,000 seats. There's about maybe 150 left, and the place will definitely be sold out. So if you're looking to go, get tickets quickly. And also, if you're looking to see great fights, be there Friday night. And also, Frankie Edgar, Matt Serra, and Chris Weidman are going to support the show like they always come to my shows to support Ring of Combat and also support the fighters that are fighting that night. So there'll be special guests at the show.
Right on, man. That's what's always cool about your show, Lou. Go ahead, Skip.
I got to tell you, you know, I want to thank you and Fred, especially Fred, for all the work he does with us over at MMAMadhouse.com and for him doing this. We started putting this show together weeks and weeks ago, and I'm truly, truly thankful that you came on. You're somebody that I know Lapaki and myself and HR, we all loved you when you were, you know, performing inside the ring, and now that you're performing as a promotional aspect, you've killed it there. So this is truly an honor and one of, you know, my highlights for 2014. I guarantee it.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that I was very blessed to be able to pursue my passion. And, you know, money can't buy the great feeling you have when you pursue your passion. And I enjoy what I do every day that I do it.
Well, we look forward to a great event. And I look forward to, you know, continually working with your company. You know, and folks, you guys can always go to MMAMadhouse.com for their press releases, information on their fight cards, links to their pay-per-views. And, Lou, I know you're a busy man. It's fight week. We'll let you get off the air, and thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, and keep up the great work you're doing. The fans love you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lou. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lou.
Bye-bye.
Been an honor, sir.
Oh, man, that right there is just legendary. I mean, one of the coolest guest we've ever had on this show. Just a great guy with just a legendary history on all aspects. I mean, Karate Hall of Famer, multiple world champion. Oh, man, just a cool dude, great organizations. But we're ready and rocking. We've got James Jenkins with us who will be fighting on this card. How you doing, brother? Welcome to Madhouse Live.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Oh, just breaking down, talking a little bit about ROC 47. You're on this card. It's a stacked card. You're fighting for the title against Adam, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, you've had an impressive career as an amateur and then going into the pros. Your only loss in the pros has been at, first of all, you've only fought for Ring of Combat as a pro, which is great, but your only loss in your career was for a title fight. How much did that sting and push you?
Yeah, you know, that stung a lot. I train. I put a lot into every fight. You know, I think sometimes I go maybe a little too crazy in my head. Kind of forgetting, you know, why exactly I do it. You know, you get so caught up with everything, and that was pretty stressful for me. But I grew a lot from it. I learned a lot from it, you know. I just made a mistake in that fight. I'm ready. I got back on the board. You know, I took a little time off after that, and you know, went back to work trying to train to figure out how to fix some of my holes. And I think I'm a stronger and better fighter now for it.
Now, you know, we just finished talking with Lou. We talked about the level of competition at Ring of Combat. You've gotten to fight some tough guys there. You had a pretty good fight. I believe it was late last year. I want to say Steve, was it Justin Steve?
Oh, that was recent. Justin Steve, me and him just fought in September.
Yeah.
That was a good fight. That was definitely I think it was a pretty exciting fight. I watched Bill Machine a couple things that I did wrong from that one, but it was definitely a tough one to come back to. He hit me with a couple good shots in that fight. Made me happy to see that I could take it, you know, and it was definitely a good fight.
When you slapped in that rear naked choke, I believe it was in round two, how good did that feel when you felt him tap?
It felt really good. It felt really good. That fight was a bit back and forth, and I didn't want to have two losses in a row. You know, it's you know, so hard. You know, you want to get to the UFC, you want to get to the big shows. You know, you can't have something like that happen. And right before I slapped the rear naked choke on him, he actually had a takedown on me and had my back for a minute, and I reversed him and got on him, and it just felt great. You know.
Yeah. Oh, no. I tell you, watching your progression, because, you know, I enjoy Ring of Combat, and, you know, we cover most of their events. you've consistently gotten tougher opponents. You've consistently grown. Especially your last few fights, you've been finishing them off, you know, pretty devastating fashions, whether it's, you know, a TKO or a deep submission. What's changing in your camp to where you're now becoming, you know, I guess more of a killer in there, more of a finisher?
I guess a lot of it goes to, you know, between coaching and tough sparring with good teammates. You know, it's one thing I've been pretty lucky being a part of the Serafongo camp. You know, we got some killers in there that are about my size, you know, you get that tough sparring and, you know, you feel ready for war after that. I get that, and I got, you know, I got Ray, I got Matt, I got, and I also do a lot of work with my boxing coach, Keith Hewitt, you know, it's always trying to progress, always trying to work on the things that, you know, I'm struggling with, or even the things I'm good at, always trying to get better.
Now, for all the fans out there, you know, especially overseas and around the country that don't live locally to you, do you want to tell everybody where you're training out of?
Wait, I'm sorry, what was that?
For all the fans,
out of
you
Sierra
want to
Longo, Skippy, you just told everybody where he trains at.
Training
at Sierra Longo with all the savages. Come on, buddy.
Oh, it's early. James, it's early out here. It's early out here in Oregon for Skippy. I mean, he's usually not up till like 1 o'clock, you know, about 4 o'clock Eastern, you know, and this 10 o'clock in the morning stuff kind of throws off his brain power. I'm kind of curious, man. To have all your pro fights at an organization like Ring Combat, man. How nice has that been for you? And to know that, you know, when you get a fight offer from someone like Ring of Combat, you're going to have a fight. You know, it may be a different opponent, but you're pretty much going to be guaranteed to be able to fight on that day.
Yeah. I guess I've been pretty lucky that you know, pretty much my career with them has been pretty well. And, you know, I've had some pretty tough fights. And, you know, we've had problems, too, where guys have backed out. But Lou always does a good job on getting me an opponent. And even some of the other guys that I fought, that records might have been like, oh, like I fought that guy, Dwayne Shelton, there. And, you know, that guy's like a 500 fighter, but he was tough as hell. You know, it was a good fight. So it's, you know, kept me growing, kept me always, you know, growing as a fighter.
Now,
which one of your fights do you look back on as your favorite?
Let me think. My first fight was one of my favorites, just because, you know, it was my pro debut. I had a ton of people there to see it, and the fight started off bad. It was only a one round fight, but it started off bad. I was missing my punches. He was a little longer than me. This is Mike Prokop. I'm actually friends with him now too, which is even funnier. But I kept just coming up short and missing him, and I was getting frustrated, and I was getting tagged, and I was just trying to think, like, what could I do to win? You know, I got next round, I got to win. And then at the end of the round, he kind of shrugged his shoulders out. I thought he was a little tired, and I'm like, I'm going to go after him. And I caught him, clipped him, and he was just out. And that was, you know, that just a second before that, I was thinking, like, what am I going to do to win this fight? And then I won. It was, like, just such a giant, like, change of feelings. It was probably one of my favorites.
Have you ever, so now just so the fans know that you're talking about the fight with Mike Prokop, have you ever tried to find a way to say that to where it maybe sounded like Mirko Krokop was the guy that you got knocked out?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that under my belt, but the featherweight knocking out Krokop, that's...
You would be down in the history books of MMA, bro.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I wouldn't mind that. But don't let the Krokop hear that. I don't want that guy.
Hey, James, HR touched on it earlier. Your opponent, he's coming from Austria. It's probably a little hard to find much on him because he's, you know, not local or regional. Does that bother you at all? Do you even care, or you just show up and it's time to go?
No, I used to watch a lot of film on guys. I try to find everything I can, but sometimes, you know, I don't necessarily think it's good either, because you don't want to, like, think that they're going to, like, you think the guy's a grappler and you're ready for a guy who's going to grapple you, and he fakes a takedown and punches you, you know, like, you know, you got to keep in mind they could do anything. I found a little film on this guy, though. I just kind of wanted, you know, you kind of want to know maybe what a guy's strengths are. But the film I found was a couple years old. you know, and I saw a couple things, but it's not hard to go on. I'm just assuming, I'm just going to, you know, playing for the best guy that can possibly come, you know?
Now,
where do you see yourself in a year from now?
I mean, hopefully, I'd like to keep getting these W's under my belt and get a chance to play in the UFC. You know, I'm getting older. I'm 28 now. I'd like to make that happen.
Hey, whoa. Older. This guy, older. Man, I'd kill to be. I'll swap you. 35 for 28 right now. We'll just do a straight trade.
I hear you, man. But, you know, the lifespan of a fighter, you know, like, you know, if I'm, I'd like to be able to make that transition within, you know, within the next year or two, or otherwise, you know, then I got to start, you know, at a certain point I have to look at, you know, what other options I have in life, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if everything goes the way it should go and you get your victory and your title this weekend, with the amount of shows that Luke puts on with Ring of Combat, you could possibly defend your title 3 times this year. So that would be 4 fights you could put down, you know, great fights. I don't see why you couldn't, at the end of the year, be, you know, looked at to take that next step. Obviously, Luke touched on it. You know, multiple champions have gone on from his organization to fight for UFC. So, especially getting the title this weekend is, you know, a major step towards that direction.
Yeah, no, this is it's exciting for me. You know, it's, you know, I try not to get, like, too caught up in that. And, but, you know, I just kind of, right now I'm just kind of concentrating on the fight. But I do understand, you know, it's a big opportunity, you know, and I want to, you know, shine. I want to do my best out there. And, hey, you know, I want to show everybody what I'm capable of.
During, you know, obviously you've already had one title fight, but during the build-up to your title fight, how much stress do you get from family and friends, you know, like wanting to talk about it constantly or get hookups or, you know, kind of break your concentration?
Yeah, you know, people always like say I have a lot going on as is right now anyways. Like I work full time, I train on all my spare time. It's hard to manage things, and you know, constantly people are you know, asking you questions. I show up to work with a black eye, and then everybody's telling me that I gotta, you know, dodge better, duck better, and you know, and it gets a little strenuous sometimes and stressful, but you know, that's this life, you know.
How we talk about armchair quarterbacking all the time. What's one of the funniest things you've heard from somebody who's not a fighter on how to bet in your game?
In regards to me or in
yeah,
anybody?
Anybody.
I mean, you see it all the time, man. Like I go on like MMA websites a lot, and you know, you see people talking about, like, you know, some of the best fighters in the world, guys that you can only aspire to be at. I mean, people knock, you know, your George St. Pierre's, people knock, you know, guys like Chris Weidman, people knock, you know, they knock everybody. So, I mean, it's, you know, and I've talked to Matt about that stuff. You just, you got to laugh at it. You can't let it bother you. I've had friends come up to me after fights, after, you know, sitting up in the stands and having a few beers and telling me what I did wrong, you know, and, you know, you just got to smile like, all right, man, thanks, you know, like, it's just, you can't let it get to you. It's a little aggravating, but it's, you know, I mean, and I'm on the lower level of things right now, you know. I mean, the guys at the top level, you got the best grapplers in the world, the best strikers in the world, and you're going to have a guy who's never taken anything, or, you know, took a boxing class once in his life, and he's going to tell him what he did wrong. It's just fighting, man. It's always going to be around.
You got to love that stuff. I mean, we get paid to do it, but...
What was your background that brought you into the fight game, James?
I wrestled in high school, and I wrestled a little bit at Cortland in upstate New York. Only for a little bit though. I didn't last there too long. It was a bit of a party school, and but then I came home. You know, I used to like to try to stay in shape and stuff, and I also got, when I was younger, I was a little bit of a hothead and get into like scuffles. So, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't want to lift weights anymore. I wanted to do something else that would get me in shape and I'd have fun and could compete in. So I joined this MMA gym up the road from my house. There was a bunch of big guys that, you know, they were good guys. They got me started. And, you know, and then I moved, you know, I moved gyms a couple times to keep progressing, getting better. And then I started doing amateur fights and just kind of kept going from there.
HR, you got anything you want to jump in, brother?
Yeah, you fought at welterweight and bantamweight. What do you feel the comfortable at most? At what weight?
I feel good. I'm a featherweight right now. I fight 45. I feel really good there. I did one fight as an amateur, pretty heavy, but that was, you know, it was a short notice fight, and I still filmed my guy. I thought I'd beat him, and I did. So I took that fight really heavy. But 45, I feel good at. You know, I feel comfortable. I feel strong. So I'm definitely the most comfortable there right now. I don't want to go any lower. I feel like if I go lower, I'm going to just sacrifice strength.
No. Now, with you know, that mindset, you know, possibly, you know, giving up some of your strength. You know, did you sit down with your coaches and decide, hey? Or did you physically, your body just tell you?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever advised me, you know, to go down to, you see the other 45-pounders I've trained with, other 45-pounders that are, and I feel just as big, just as strong. If the UFC came knocking and said, hey, we'll take you, but you got to go to 35, then maybe I'd torture myself and get down there. But, it's my decision as of right now. Nobody's ever told me or felt at least that I should be going down another weight class.
Now, it's fight week. Obviously, you're tailing up the end of your camp here. Everything going great for your camp then?
Yeah, everything's going, you know, pretty much just as planned. You always get, like, little bumps and bruises and things like that happen. I felt good. I feel ready. You know, I had some good hard sparring in. My weight was a little heavier than I wanted it to be, but it's coming down now. I think everything went pretty solid this time around.
After the fight, your hands raised, you got a badass title belt around your waist. What do you want to go eat?
I love Italian, man. I'd like to, passing up on all those carbs and everything, it's kind of killing me. I'd really like to get some Italian food, get home and have some pizza too. That'd be pretty nice.
What's your go-to pizza?
Let's talk about that right now. You're kind of killing me.
Sorry, Lepaki, I didn't catch that.
No, I'm not going to throw that question out there. I don't want to do that to him, Skippy. I'm not like you. I don't like to talk to fighters about food during fight week.
Yeah, it's pretty rough week. I've been grilling my girlfriend all week. Whenever she came by last night with a slice of pizza in her hand, and I gave her like the death stare. So the food.
Okay, man. Now I gotta ask, dude. What is your go-to pizza place?
My go-to pizza place. I like. There's one place right around the corner from me, over by my job. It's called La Margarita. They have some really, really good pizza. And then when I'm back at home, I live in Rocky Point, New York. I like to hit up a pizzeria called Pompeii. They got some pretty good pizza over there.
Have you thought about getting them as a sponsor?
I kind of slack in the sponsor game. I don't have I'm currently, you know, I'm not managed. I kind of do things on my own, and I always felt weird about going up to people and asking them to sponsor me. I guess something I definitely got to work on. I just always felt strange, you know, approaching businesses and friends and things like that about that type of stuff.
Well, let's do it for you, folks. Anybody out there listening, especially all the great sponsors, gear companies, management companies around the world, you guys, somebody get out there, step up, help this kid. Get him a piece of sponsorship, cell phone sponsorship, something. Help him out. He's trying to fight for
his
title.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, James. Okay, you win this title, then Julio Arce fights James McLean, and you fought James McLean before. Is there a chance that you'll fight the winner of that fight for the title? And who would you rather fight, McLean again? Because you went like a decision with McLean. Was that a pretty tough fight, or when you fought McLean?
Yeah, well, with the McLean fight, that fight actually wasn't even scheduled. He was supposed to fight a guy, Mervin Rodriguez, at Pellegrino's. And Mervin, there was a problem with his medical work, and I didn't even have a fight at that time. I was training, and my opponent wound up getting hurt or something. So I showed up in shape, the fight opened up, and I took it, and I won. But they're fighting at 35, too, as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So I'd have to, I'm not planning on dropping down. I'm pretty comfortable at 45. So, I just don't see that being, unless one of them wanted to come up to 45, you know, that's the only way I can see that happening.
Honestly. Okay.
Now, obviously everything goes well, you grab that title and you're not, you know, don't have any bad injuries, you just get the standard, 7-14-day suspension. Would you like to be on the very next card to defend your title?
If everything goes well and I come out clean, does anybody know the date of the next rank of combat?
Like you said, May.
May, I believe.
Yeah, Lou, I think you said May.
May? I might be at a wedding. I'm not sure. My buddy asked me to go to a wedding, but other than that, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do. It was like a destination thing. But I would definitely like to get a chance to defend it. I mean, as soon as possible, get another fight under my belt. You know, like I said, I have a short window to do things, so I'd like to get as many fights as I can. As long as I'm healthy and I come at it as good, I don't see why not.
Sweet. Now, I'm curious, you train with a bunch of savages, as you put it. Who is your favorite guy to spar with, and who is your least favorite guy to spar with?
That's hard to say, man. I mean, it's sparring. You have a lot of gym wars, and you get days where you're the hammer, and you get days where you're the nail. And, I spar with a lot of guys where that's exactly how it goes, my buddy Pat DeFranco is fighting on this card. Me and him have some good sparring. It's back and forth. I've been sparring even, we got some Ally Quinto when I'm working with him, back and forth, hard sparring. Maybe I'm the nail a little more in there than I want to be. We got John Bowman, who's a hell of a wrestler, but now he's a great Muay Thai guy. I did some work with him the other day. We have, we got some of these Georgian dudes. He's fighting on the card too, this kid Marab. I was sparring with him. He's a tough little guy. Al Jermaine, man. And now he's with us, and he's just a ridiculous grappler. There's some days everybody's kind of got some people have different kind of specialties where one day you'll want to spar. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a war with this guy, and another day maybe your leg's hurting or your head's hurting, and you're like, oh, man, I got to spar this guy, So it goes back and forth. I got a lot of really, really good, solid training partners out of here. So I'm very happy where I am, but I can't say, exactly who I like the most. It kind of changes.
Well, we've got you for a few more minutes. I want you to take some time right now. Anybody you want to thank, anybody you want to give shout-outs to, any social media information so fans can follow you, please feel free.
Definitely. I'm not on Twitter though, so I gotta get on that. I gotta wish my mom a happy birthday. She was really mad at me. I was really cranky on her birthday, so if I could wish my mom a happy birthday. I'd like to thank all my coaches, Ray, Matt, Keith Hewitt with Lifetime Jimmy Supplies. I'd like to thank them for all their help. And I'd like to thank my girlfriend for dealing with me being all cranky this week, and all my friends and family for coming out and supporting.
Now, once you have that title, it's Sunday. Are you gonna put it on and walk around the house?
Yeah, I've had a lot of jokes with people. I have to show up to work with it on, and I have to sport it a little bit. I'll probably.
If you ever fight Daryl Schoonover, now I understand he's a heavyweight, but we've talked about you facing off other heavyweights. You may want to watch the belt because he did inform us the other night that all of his title belts have performed the deed while being worn by Daryl.
Ooh. Yeah. Might not want to wear that belt.
Well, you just got something clicking in his mind. He's probably looking over at his girlfriend going, championship belt? Yeah, baby.
I don't think my girlfriend's looking there with a belt on. I don't think I'm going to.
You should just, like, walk in the house with the belt on and be like, cook the champ dinner. James, man, it's been a blast, dude. You know, I wish you the best of luck. I know you got a tough fight coming up. I know mentally and physically you're going to be prepared. All the fans out there who want to watch him fight, you guys, if you don't live locally and can't, you know, get tickets to get down to the actual event in person, go to GoFightLive.tv. Wherever you live in this world, you'll be able to watch him. It's a great deal. And, you know, we all of us here wish you the best of luck and hope you grab that title.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Hey, have a good fight week, and I'll be watching you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. I hope I'll be talking to you guys soon, and everything will go great.
Best
later,
luck,
brother.
Man. Have a great time. Hey, man, have a lot of fun Friday night, bro.
Thanks a lot, man.
Well, guys, there's no point in waiting around. Somebody we've had on the show before, he's back. Julio, you're live with Madhouse. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you guys? It's great to be back.
Oh, man. It's great to have you. Obviously, last time we talked to you, you were getting ready for a fight. You've been on a tear. You've been picking up, you know, just victories. You've been killing it. A lot of people out there are talking, you know, about this fight coming up, and it's a good fight, and this will get you a win. Will get you, according to Lou, a title fight. Dude.
This is a title fight.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You'll get a... You'll get in the title fight, and you get to take home this prestigious belt that's been obviously won by some legends. How excited are you to finally get this?
I mean, it's like, for me, like, I just have, like, no words to really explain how excited I am because... Like, it's only just putting me closer to where I want to be. And, you know, it gets me just really pumped up because I see all the hard work, you know, I've been putting in. It's paying off. And, you know, I'm just getting each time just moments away just from, you know, that the big opportunity. So it really means a lot.
Well, you know, last time we talked to you, you know, you're pretty focused. And something Lou mentioned is you've been, you know, trying to take some stand-up fights at the Muay Thais at his events. How important do you think that is to stay that active and jumping back and forth?
I think it's really important because, well, one, as a fighter, I'm always in shape. My conditioning will only just keep improving. And two, I'll never have ring rust. So I'm not going to take, like, a long break and then wait till I get another fight in the cage. I'll just stay busy and just constantly, you know, improving every discipline. But at the same time, you know, I'm always getting prepared for a fight. And then when I step in the ring, you know, I'm ready for it. When I go in the cage, I'm where there's no rust there. You know, I'm just always active, and I'm just ready to go.
Now, obviously, you've been, you know, very successful in MMA. Has the stand-up game fighting Thai, has that given you an itch to maybe take more of those fights, or do you want to strictly try to focus on the MMA long-term?
I strictly want to focus on the MMA because I want to be able to, I want to go into the UFC. But, you know, like when I go into the Muay Thai fights, it, like I said, it helps me stay, you know, sharp all around in my stand-up. And, you know, when I go for it, when I train for an MMA fight, you know, I focus all around, but, you know, my stand-up is also very important, and, you know, always good to stay, you know, sharp and all around, you know, in the standing and also, you know, doing, like, grappling tournaments here and there just to stay busy and just to keep yourself well-rounded.
You have definitely proven in your career, both as an amateur and a pro, that you can you can win in any aspects, you know, on the ground with your hands. You have a cardio that can take you to the deeper rounds. How have you adjusted your training for 5 rounds versus 3?
I just, you know, up the conditioning. Do, instead of going at 3 5-minute rounds, you know, I'll do 5-minute rounds, and I'll just focus on the conditioning and just being able to just keep going. You know, being able to go from 0 to 60 or 0 to 100 in, like, even in the late rounds when I'm, you know, I feel like my body's exhausted, there's always that, like, I'll have, like, that extra fuel tank to just keep me going. So I just push the conditioning.
Yeah, because the reason I bring that up is your opponent, Jason, I don't believe, I'd have to double check, but I think all his losses are pretty much decision losses. So he likes to grind them out and take them deep. Are you looking to try to get in there and stop this fight like normal really early, or are you guys focused on a long war?
You know what? However the fight goes, you know, I want to try to end it early, but if it goes into the, you know, into deep waters, you know, I'll be more than ready for it, and I'll be able to just keep pushing the pace. You know, even in the later rounds, those are the grueling rounds because, you know, usually by then both fighters are probably exhausted, and that's where you got to find out who has more heart and who wants it more. So if it does go into the later rounds, you know, I'll be ready for it, and I'll just be ready to continue pushing the pace and not stop. I won't slow down for just because we're in the last couple of rounds.
Well, and that's something I saw when you fought Dennis in the later rounds, you know, especially when you guys got towards the end of round 3. You seem to be getting a second wind. You didn't, you know, unlike him. Do you feel like after, you know, the second round into the third, you start feeling more comfortable getting your breath back?
Yeah. Like, you know, usually in the first rounds, what tends to happen to me is like, you know, it's kind of like a warm-up, like I start to just get the feel, and I start progressing throughout the round, and then, like, second round, I start progressing more. Then later in the round, that's when, you know, like, you know, it just kicks in, you know, the afterburns kick in, and I just start going. Like, now it's, I just, the conditioning, like I said, just takes over. It's like, okay, you're tired, go, and just, boom, I just start feeding it up.
Labaki, HR, you guys want to jump in?
Yeah, Julio, you're 4-0 as a pro and 11-0 as an Ami. Does that do you have pressure on you, knowing that you know you could lose a fight, and is that ever in the back of your mind that or you just feel like you just they can't nobody beat you?
You know what? When I was doing the kickboxing, you know, that was where I had my only defeat. And what happens is, you know, when you lose a fight, you choose to either let it consume you or you go back, you make yourself better, you learn from it and continue. You know, when I go in this fight, if I lose, it's not gonna stop me from just continuing. You know, if I lose, I learn from it, and I'll come back even stronger. But, you know, I don't feel like it's a lose-lose situation or anything for me. I just feel it's a fight, and win or lose, I'm going to learn from it. And I don't go in there with pressure on my shoulders. I just go in there, I'm like, we're going to fight, and whoever comes out the victor comes out the victor. But all I know is, I'm never gonna lose because I'm either gonna win or learn from it. You know what I mean?
Great so attitude.
I don't put the kind of pressure on my shoulders.
Now
you had two fighters canceled in one night, and actually 3 fighters in 4 months. Do you feel like the fighters are getting intimidated by you at this stage of your fighting career, or?
That, you know what, I really don't know. I mean, if they get intimidated, that kind of gets me pumped up because then I see that they know who I am. But, you know, at the same time, it it kind of sucks because, you know, like, I want to fight them, but then it's like they back out. So it's like I feel like sometimes I'm getting ready for this fight, then my opponent backs out, and they don't get a replacement. It just bums me out because I'm like, man, I'm busting my butt, and then they just back out. But at the same time, you know, people are starting to notice that, you know, I'm not – that I'm a fighter that I'm going to bring a fight to you. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not just some other, like, just name there. Like, people understand that if you're, like, if we're going to fight, you know, I'm going to bring a fight to you. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not just going to be some stepping stone. Like, we're going to fight.
Julio, I got to ask you, you know, earlier Lou touched on, you know, the fact that people listening, especially fighters, that he's taking applications. You want to kind of give a fighter out there the difference of fighting on maybe Ring of Combat as a pro versus something like Extreme Cage Combat? What's the difference?
I feel like, you know, the Lou Negri show is just very well organized, and they've been around now for so long that, you know, they know exactly what they're doing, you know, like, and they're just, I feel like they're just more organized than in the other venues. I mean, all the other events that, you know, I fought in Extreme Cage Combat and I fought in Matrix Shows, and they're very well organized as well. But, you know, like, I've been with Lou Neglia, like, fighting for his shows for so long, I'm just very comfortable there. You know what I mean? Like, even in the amateurs, I fought Ring of Combat, I fought Capitals. And most of my shows were at Lou Neglia shows. So I just feel very comfortable, you know, fighting under his promotions.
How different is the crowd from a Ring of Combat event versus a Capital?
That was pretty hard to tell because the Capital, I'll tell you what, you know, it's just all the crowds are always electrifying. I can't really compare it. The Capital is very electrifying. Ring of Combat's always electrifying. So that's a hard one to tell.
Those events, I've gotten to watch them. I'm a huge fan of them. Obviously, you enjoy them competing there. You know, I would just, one of these days I'm going out to watch one of those events live. It just seems like just the best time you could possibly have.
Yeah. I know Lou's having a Capital show in April, and I know my name was put down to fight on that card, so I mean, come out to that one. Come out for In Combat.
Oh, yeah. Well, he told us you'd be on the next card. He thought that was something he really enjoyed about you is that you try to stay busy, you know, like you mentioned earlier. So, yeah. Any fans out there, you guys can watch Julio fight at Ring of Combat 47 if you don't live locally on GFL TV. And when in April when he fights for Capital, you can watch it on GFL as well. That's what's great, man. You fight for a great organization who lets the fans outside your region and throughout the world get to watch you guys perform. Do you get a lot of, you know, new fans when you do the streams? Do you get any fans from weird places in the world hitting you up?
Yeah, I get people from, like, sometimes different MMA gyms, you know, they just follow me on Twitter and, you know, like, through just talking to you guys through the radio, you know, I feel like it's, like, I'm just really spreading out there to other people and people are finding out who I am and now more people are keeping an eye on me and it feels great because now I'm being noticed by a bunch of people. You know, it's like when you first start out, you know, nobody really knows about you but, like, your closest people. And then all of a sudden now, like, as I start climbing the ladder, like, more people are just starting to, you know, now follow me and just see, you know, noticing who I am, which is great. You know, I'm really putting myself out there. And, you know, I think my entire, like, my whole team, you know, all Tiger Showmans and my agent, MMA lawyer, David Fish, you know, they helped me spread me out like that. They helped me, you know, reach out and just,
with your popularity growing and your talent level being what it is, you know, there's a lot of organizations internationally. Would you be open to maybe fighting in Asia or in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm offered, you know, something, you know, big, like a big fight, something, like, you know, I'm definitely down for it. And, you know, usually my coaches will be, they're the ones that, you know, they've been guiding me and just helping me get to this level. So they help me decide, like, look, there's a big fight out there somewhere else that, you know, somebody wants to fight me. I mean, like, I'm down for it.
That's what I like about Julio, man. He'll fight you, Skippy, even with your 194-16 prison record.
That's right.
And the fact that you're 5'5", 333 pounds.
Dude, I'm a classically trained yard fighter. MMA fighters aren't ready for what I bring to the table. Hey, and the only thing I'm fighting Julio is for, like, the first bite of pasta. That's about it. I'm not dumb. I'm not getting beat up. And not even for money. You know? I've seen you fight way too many times, killer. I'm smart.
It's a whole other story when Julio's on the phone, man. Friday nights, so we're watching this fight. You're like, I could take this guy. I could take this guy. Now all of a sudden, it's, I'd never fight Julio, man. Not for $1 million.
No.
I'd never fight this guy.
What I said Friday
See,
night is,
man,
I could
Julio, I'm trying to expose the real Skippy to you, bro, because I want you to understand, man. He wants a piece of the action.
No. I said I could take him out to dinner. That's all I said. Never said anything about taking him out in a fight. No. Not happening. You know, obviously, you know, you're growing your talent level, your popularity. How much time do you spend interacting with fans nowadays?
You know what? Spending time, like, with the fans and everything, that's something, you know, I don't do as much because I'm just like, I'm constantly just training in the mornings. Then during the day, I'm teaching at my school in Tiger Shulman's here in Bayside, Queens. And, you know, I'm teaching there till nighttime. So pretty much like most of my fans are all my students. And then, you know, other people that just contact me through Twitter or through Instagram or through Facebook, you know, that's how I kind of stay in touch with them. But other than that, you know, like, I'm not just constantly, you know, talking to my fans because I'm just busy just training and training and training and then teaching as well. So,
well, you know, this is your first pro title fight, man. Has there been anything different in the fight camp or anything different as far as your mindset? Or is it just really another fight for you?
It's kind of almost the same, you know, like it's a title fight. So my mindset for it's like, now, okay, this is a big one. This is the one that's really going to count and really put you on the radar for, you know, bigger promotions to see. So it's going to be, my mindset for it, it's like I'm going to go in there and, you know, I'm going to go all out, you know, really just bring the fight to my opponent. And, you know, it's just like I'm just like pumped up. I'm nervous. You know, things are just racing through my mind because I'm just like, man, this is going to be an incredible fight.
I agree. Though, I think you're going home with a brand new strap that night.
Thank you.
Now, you win this title.
I'll record what he says this Friday night, bro. I'm not putting up with these lies anymore in the future.
Hey, you win this title. Will you hang it at the gym or will you hang it at the house?
No, I'll put it in at our school. I'll hang it out there so, you know, all the students can see and everything. Because it's not just a title that, you know, I win for myself. This is like a title that I win for everybody on my team and everybody that you know, comes out to support. So it's like our title. It's the team's title.
That's way cool. We got a few minutes left, so before we run out of time, I want to make sure you have some time. Any shout-outs you want to give sponsors, friends, Jim, any social media so fans can follow you, whatever you want, you take this time.
I just want to give a shout out to, like, just Tiger Foam is pretty much every, they've been my trainers, everybody. Tiger Foam has been with, I've been with them for half my lifetime, so it's like, you know, 12 years, and it's, they brought me up to this level, so I just want to give them the biggest shout out to my family, my two sisters, my parents, but mostly my sisters who, you know, if you guys remember last time, they're the ones that got me into mixed martial arts, and just to all my coaches at Tiger Showmans, and, you know, just a shout out to all my students and everybody who helped me get ready for this fight, all my teammates in the Tiger Showman's team. I mean, I can't thank them. I have no words to express how thankful I am, you know, because of them, because they helped me reach such a high level. And, you know, they're not just, you know, another team. We're just like one big family, and, you know, we all help each other get ready. So I just want to thank them a lot. And also I want to give a shout out to Tiger Fight Gear, because they provide me with all the things I need, especially, you know, when I, from training, just constantly my stuff gets a little stinky, so they provide me with new gear. So I want to give them a shout out too. And if anybody wants to follow me, you can follow me at JRCTSMMA, or, you know, and just tweet me. I'll stay in contact with everybody. You can just find me on Facebook, friend request me, and, you know, I just can't wait till this Friday.
Yeah, Friday night, man. It all goes down, folks. Ring of Combat 47, Atlantic City, New Jersey. If you cannot make it, or if they're sold out, which looks like what's going to happen because there's very few tickets left, and you live outside the region, you'll be able to watch Julio fight for his title on GFL TV. You know, Julio, we love having you on. You're somebody we really, really respect and think the world of. Your talent level is through the roof, man, nothing can stop it but yourself. So I believe this title is yours, and I think you're going to have a great little run with it before you make the next step.
Thank you guys very much. It's always a pleasure being on your show. Thank you for having me. And, you know, like I said, you know, I can't wait till this Friday. It's going to be a great fight.
Well, good luck. Go enjoy the rest of your day. I know you're probably going to hit back up the gym for a little bit, so we'll let you go. And thank you once again.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again, Julio, man. Go out, have some fun Friday night, and kick somebody's ass, man.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Skippy, stay on the line. Stay on this line for a second. I'm sending you a message right now. I want you to open up that poster. Okay.
Okay. And Baker, I'd like to thank you for joining. Lapaki, I'd like to thank you for joining. What?
Dude, okay, so if you look in the bottom right above where it says tickets available, you'll see Rachel Wiley versus Trey Ahart, and I can't tell if this is a woman versus a dude fight or what.
Oh, my God, dude. It looks like a man, but it looks like she's wearing a sports bra.
Yeah, the more I zoom in on the picture, I think I do see a sports bra.
Baker, we'll send it to you. Baker will be the brain vote.
Yeah.
There you go, Baker. I just sent it to you. Lapaki, I know you have a busy day. You've got to get to your real 9-to-5 job. I want to thank you for joining us. I also, HR, always a pleasure to have you on. Lou, James, Julio, all great guests. Fred, thank you so much for putting this show together with Madhouse, and we love working with you. Everybody out there, you guys get out there and check out all our great sponsors.
Jimmy, what's the weather like out there today?
Hey, who's you talking about, that Trey Ahart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she fought at the last, not the last one, but the one she fought Lacey Brown at, I think it was a brawl.
Oh, so it is a girl. All right.
But she looks like a guy. I mean, yeah, it's a girl. It's a girl.
Okay. I was just like, man, the name fight. Trey, and like when I first glanced at the picture, I was like, whoa, man, that looks kind of like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, yeah, everybody, I want to thank all you guys. You know how we end the show.
Eagle. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'm out.
Jax Media.
Hey.
Helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge.
Go ahead, Jimmy. What'd you say?
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.